Welcome, everybody. I'm here today with Jennifer Justice of the Justice Department. She has a long-standing track record of successfully representing and advocating for people in their business pursuits. Welcome, JJ.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
We're so happy to have you here today. And the first thing I wanted to ask you is if you would just give us a little bit about your background. Tell us a little bit about yourself.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. I'm actually from Washington State. I got over to New York when I went to law school at Cornell. I had gone to undergrad at University of Washington. I graduated with a poli-sci degree, which, as you know, means nothing. My mother didn't graduate high school. I didn't really have any mentorship or anything to see what you could do in business. But I definitely knew that I wanted to be successful, so I ended up going to law school. I got into Cornell. I really wanted to represent musical artists. You know, I was in Seattle during the grunge years, and I went to Cornell Law School solely to do that, which is a little crazy since it's an Ivy League school, but I did that. I ended up down in New York, and my first job actually was at Hughes, Hubbard & Reed as a litigation associate. I kind of did the big law thing, and then within a year, I joined a firm called Cotico, Carroll, Guido & Grothman that was only representing musical artists. From there, I built up my base of clients, etc., and I was working with a very then unknown hip-hop artist named Jay-Z.
Interesting. Very unknown.
Then.
Absolutely.
And I started building my roster of clients up. I made partner there in a little over 3 years. And, you know, so I was representing a then unknown Mark Ronson, who was producing for then unknown Amy Winehouse and Adele. And then I just, you know, built it up from there. And then 11 years in, I had done a deal for Jay-Z to start Roc Nation. And then he asked me to come in-house and be the general counsel for that company. I think I was like the fifth employee or something at that point.
That's amazing. That's amazing that you discovered or worked with all of these new and upcoming artists that became quite successful.
Yeah. Anybody in the music industry, when you're representing these people, you always have a story about somebody who, like, I knew them when, you know, or before. I have a, you know, front row seat to watching their careers evolve and build. And, you know, unfortunately, some of them not, you know, successful. There's so many amazing not successful stories as well. From there, I became the EVP doing strategic marketing and business development. Mm-hmm. I was taking my business skills as a lawyer in the music industry. You're more of a business lawyer and helping them get their record deals and, you know, a little bit of everything in their business.
So you play a pretty big role in that.
Yeah, you do. In the music industry and as a lawyer. And then after 5.5-6 years at Roc Nation, I joined Superfly as the president of corporate development. It's a live experience company, and they were building out their portfolio of businesses. They had started Bonnaroo Music Festival 20 years ago, Outside Lands 12 years ago, and then, you know, figuring out how to grow the company. So I spent 3 years there.
And what was that like for you?
That was great. I really wanted to be able to use my network in the music industry. I really wanted to, you know, be a president in more of a business capacity and understand growing the business from within. There are four guys who had been together for 20 years, but it was still like had a startup feel. So it was a really great culture.
And how did they find you?
It depends on which one you ask, but we all had a really great relationship, but I just came from a totally different perspective. So I think we both learned a lot from each other, you know? They found me humorous and times and probably annoying many times too.
And I think that that's a pretty interesting thought that you just had in terms of sometimes we need to learn from each other and we don't actually have the complete skill set that we need to be successful.
We're always going to learn. I mean, look at us now. It's like you're Gen X, right? We're in that population and I'm constantly having to learn to stay current about things that are evolving even through my kids. I mean, millennials are now old.
You know? Yes, this is true.
But, you know, and so now it's all about Gen Z, and then it's about whatever my kids are called.
Well, tell us about your kids.
They're six twins, Jack and Nico, boy, girl, and they're in kindergarten down in Tribeca.
Very nice. And we were talking a little bit earlier about how sometimes they will join you out and about.
They love, like on panels, sometimes I'll have them come watch me speak. I do a photo shoot and interview yesterday, so they were there, and then they got in the photo shoot, of course, for a little bit.
That's so fun. Yeah. And it's also really great for them to see you in this real powerhouse role and to see what their mom is doing and what you're capable of achieving.
Well, my son actually says it's not fair because boys don't ever get to go on stage. because he's only seen me do panels, and it's always an all-women thing. And then he's seen his sister do ballet recitals, and he's like, that's not fair. Only girls get to do all the fun stuff.
That is interesting. That's funny. So how did you address that with him?
I said that's not necessarily true at all. In fact, it used to be the opposite, where women were never on the stages, etc. And maybe for ballet, yes, but it wasn't always true.
And maybe he'll have his chance if he ever chooses to do that too, right? In terms of where you are today, you have a twin 6-year-old, you just told me. You started a new business, and it's just media is out there and available. There's all sorts of social media and ways to get your message across. Mm-hmm. How are you getting your message across today, and what are you trying to achieve with your new company?
So the beginning of the year, I started with two co-founders, a company called the Justice Department.
So you just started earlier this year.
So it's obviously a play on my last name.
Very clever. We love that.
And it's really a female-focused advisory consulting firm, and we also provide legal services under a different name. And it is to really propel female founders, brands, female founded businesses, female brands, creatives, executives, and talent in their business.
Can you give us an example of, you know, not a specific client, but an example of an ideal client or who is going to need what you have to offer?
It's a wide range because there's three of us with different backgrounds. So if you take mine, for instance, there are obviously many influencers or women who have a ton of followers and a lot, like really rabid fans, and could turn that into a business. I'm helping them envision what that business could be, just like Jay-Z turned his hobbies into businesses, as well as Rihanna, etc. I had a front row view and a part of that. So we're helping those kinds of women. It doesn't necessarily have to be musical talent. It could be people in poetry, people in lifestyle, fashion, etc. So that's just one instance. You know, another could be female-founded companies that don't have that broad network of your college roommate's dad's network, or them. You know, we want to be your pop-up executive team, each having 20 years experience ranging from entertainment, general business, tax, investment. Like, what kinds of services do you need for that? We do basically everything but marketing and PR, so we need the business side of the things.
Do you keep everything in-house, or do you partner with other firms?
We want to partner with other firms. We want to make this as collaborative as possible. Women are great at collaborating, and, you know, to bring in other kind of consulting advisory, you know, firms in other capacities. We're meeting with a lot of different women and seeing how we can all work together and be like a one-stop shop for that network.
And why now? What are you seeing now?
I think for the three of us, it was just a culmination of our experience and time. We had each been at about 3 to 4 different companies, mostly run by men, seeing them grow, helping them profit on our advice. And at the same time, a big inbound of women asking us for advice, asking who could represent them either legally or maybe come and work as the president or CEO of their female-founded company. And we're like, you know, this is what we have to do. We have to take our experience and we need to hyper-focus it on women and helping them grow their businesses, because they just don't have the same network.
Probably the same network, and maybe also not even the same training. One of the things you brought up earlier was negotiating business deals, and that's a strength of yours. That's something that I think traditionally women don't do very well for themselves. What are your thoughts on that?
We didn't grow up in team sports, you know, really necessarily. We didn't learn what position we're best at. You know, we think that we can do everything in business, yet we're not doing our own nails, we're not washing our own floors or coloring our own hair. But for some reason in business, we think we have to do it all because we're scared to ask or look stupid. There's a plethora of reasons why we don't. But yeah, we're getting like women who are coming to us and they have business deals. People want to do business with them, and then they just get a term sheet or like a full agreement in front of them. And they're like, I don't even know if the structure is right. Should it be a profit participation? Should it be a license? Should it be a joint venture? You know, should I not do the deal, right? They don't even know how to evaluate the structure of it. Whereas men have 20 different people to go to and probably have already these terms roll off of their tongue very easily, and they understand the implications of it. They understand the long-term and the tax implications, et cetera. And if they don't, they know who to go to.
That's great. I totally get what you're saying about your father's, you know, sort of buddies. In terms of somebody who is starting a business and they don't know what to do next, what is too small to come to you for advice? Or what is that level where somebody should say, this is a great resource for me. I need to see if I can get in front of their team.
We have met with, you know, the majority of the people who come to us. We want to train women how to value themselves, so we cost a certain amount, right? Not every business should be a business. Not every business succeeds. We meet with everyone and we're able to tell them pretty quickly, like, whether or not we could be a good resource for them. And the law firm is one way to get in, and then having the advisory consulting be another, you know, way when once they grow a little bit. But if you're just starting a business and you have no proof of concept, then we're probably
not the right
fit for you to even pay for us. In general, what I will say is everybody, if you start a business, you need an attorney. Do not pretend you do not need an attorney. You absolutely
right.
need an attorney. And don't just go and get some free legal advice because you get what you pay for. Like, you need an attorney. You need to put together $3,000 to $5,000 to get the right entity set up. Make sure you have the right trademark of your consumer product brand. Like, could you imagine doing all this packaging and, like, you haven't even checked if you can own the trademark? There's so many things you could screw up very quickly, and everybody just wants to be like, I don't want to talk about an attorney. I'm just going to pretend I don't need one. You could set up your whole business for failure from the very beginning.
Right. The first thing is to invest in yourself and then protect that, right? Would you say you need to protect what you're investing in?
Exactly.
So then if somebody is willing to put some money up mm-hmm. to get a good attorney and the right advice to start a business, whether or not they're ready for your team yet, you have the right legal team behind you that they might be able to speak with.
Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
All right. That's great to know. In terms of the three partners, how did you come to this concept? I understand what you said earlier, mm-hmm. the three of you, different backgrounds, different companies. What are each of your strengths, mm-hmm. and what are you hoping to bring to the table for your clients?
So Jackie Duvall spent her entire career in tax and investment. She worked for the Ziff Brothers for 13 years. Before that, like, she's had a varied career. At one point, she was packaging derivatives on the desk of Goldman, like, you know. So she's very attuned to a very specialized area of the industry that not a lot of people know how to do. I've hired attorneys that do this stuff, but I've never been the attorney on this. So she can help forming the company, raising money.
So you get involved with the raising.
Yeah.
The funds too.
Definitely on the paperwork side.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. We're starting to build a network of people that are really interested in investing in female founders, and everybody has a different thesis, right? So, and we're really trying to understand and help the women if we can. It's not like what we're doing is helping them raise money, but it's like if we can introduce them to a network of people, again, the dad network.
Absolutely.
You know, we want to be that, you know, resource for them.
And just to make sure they have all their T's crossed, their I's dotted when it comes to the paperwork that you need to go ahead and do a raise.
Do it, you know, right the first time so your cap table's not crazy when you're going for your Series A, or you don't have enough founder equity, or all the things that, like,
matter when it comes to decision-making, you know, time.
Feel like you're desperate. We'll take whatever money, and, like, there's bad money to take, you know? There's not all money is good money. So she's really great at that. Anjali has a background in, like, social impact work as well as startups. So she was really in at Google in, like, the mid-2000s doing legal work. She was the chief founding legal officer at Warby Parker as well as at Cheddar. So she definitely has a startup background and interest and background in social impact as well.
That's great. Mm-hmm. That's fabulous. What do you hope to accomplish with this venture in terms of what does 1 year look like? What does 3 years look like for you and your team?
I think 1 year is really helping, you know, the initial clients that we have, really making an impact, a quick impact, so they can grow on a much more rapid pace than if they were trying to do it by themselves. And as far as the Justice Department, we want to grow that as well. Like, we want to be a resource for women who are kind of like in their own island consulting and, you know, come together and build a real enterprise value in what we're doing. You know, we can't all sit there. Like, the barrier to entry for a company now is literally a laptop, Wi-Fi, and a computer. It's all you need.
It's amazing how technology has changed everything.
You can work out of your house, a co-working space, you know? And there's so many different co-working spaces now. There's, like, Kettle, you can go buy a restaurant and have a co-working space or stay at your house. But that doesn't build real value, right?
Yeah. When do you see real value? When do you look at a founder and a company and say, this is going to work.
Every different business is different. Service business that you can have a bunch of clients that come on really quickly and then get revenue. They obviously have an enterprise value that with a smaller multiple because it's a service business, you know, or it's a bigger kind of tech where you have to raise a bunch of money. It's, right. You know, it's really hard. I mean,
absolutely.
It's an old school thinking that maybe you should be profitable. I don't know. It's crazy.
Yeah. Imagine that. Actually make money.
No way.
In terms of the world today, what surprises you when you think about the world in general today?
What surprises me is the stories that I'm hearing today in particular. You know, like I referenced, we represent executives. We want to be a safe place for women to come that's not in your particular business, where you can get your agreements negotiated. All three of us have negotiated employment agreements in our former careers, and be a resource for you in all the issues that women are going through, from sexual harassment to equal pay. It is unbelievable that it is still rampant in major corporations, the lack of equality in pay between men and women. It is unbelievable. And I wish I could talk and like say which ones they are, but you know, you have confidentiality.
Right.
It's disgraceful.
I see a lot of leadership at firms trying to make those changes or at least embracing the concept, but yet it isn't happening and it's still taking a long time. Is it an issue that needs to be addressed in the middle tiers, or is it something where you think everyone just needs to come together collectively and make things more transparent so that one person cannot be paid more than another based on sex, race, religion, that sort of thing?
There's so many things that can be done. Transparency would be great. Why don't you release, you know, the salaries based on titles, not obviously names, but based on titles and years of experience, you know? And if women aren't that quick, then why do you have them? Like, it's insane to me. It's like you can have so many different HBS studies that having women on your board, having women on executive teams, this is a very diverse society. If you do not subscribe, dinosaurs become extinct. Like, it's going to happen over time. I can't believe how long it's taking. So transparency, definitely. I mean, you know, if somebody does that, a big company does that.
We need one to start that.
Obviously, the HR departments are a big issue. You know, arbitration clauses, a big issue. And women themselves, like, negotiate for yourself. Ask what other people are getting paid.
I think that's a big skill set. We were touching on that earlier, that a lot of women need more coaching around. Do you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, definitely. Don't ever take the first offer. Always ask for more, you know? And ask, making sure that you're getting paid the same as men. Men should be doing the same thing for women, but...
Right, and vice versa. Yeah. Absolutely.
It takes all sides up. You know, it takes both genders to really make this happen. If you really think it's fair for your daughter to get paid less than your son, then that's a bigger issue.
Right. And I would say, too, it's not like a me versus them or an us versus them. It's like, let's all get on the same side of the table. Let's get on the same page and let's work together to get this done. And whatever that means, but it's time. And it does seem like it's really going to happen this time. And the women who are out there talking about this and doing things are not going to stop until we find that parity.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. What would you tell your younger self today?
Advocate for myself more from the very beginning. You know, that's where we start losing it, right? From the very beginning. Learn about money. Start investing in not just the stock market. There's this like kind of thing that women think that they never have enough money to talk to like a financial manager.
Right. We're very aware of that. Yes.
Get involved in your money from a very early stage. That's, you know.
And what does money mean to you?
It means power to do with it what I want to do with it. And, you know, that's fitting my agenda in politics. It's, you know, being able to provide for my family. I'm a single mom, you know, to twins, making sure I can offer the best things for them. But then also investing in the things that I believe in, which is, you know, for the most part, female founders and people of color, and really like representing a diversity that exists today in the world. So, you know, I don't need it to buy another bag. Maybe I'll get another couple. But, you know, I don't
right.
need it, you know, to buy a plane, to get a new watch. I don't need any of those kinds of things. But I think that you should get what you deserve and your worth. And that is matched basically in the marketplace and what, you know, other men are making.
Don't be afraid to ask for it. Know what you're worth. Know what the general competition is.
Maybe you're worth $2 million in the marketplace and you really spend $500,000 of that. Use that money for something good.
Make an impact somewhere else. Grow it for your future. Grow it for your family.
Ooh, money. We're not supposed to talk about money. It's like, we need to talk about money.
I agree. You have to understand your relationship with money. You have to understand what it means to you, what your priorities are when it comes to your goals and your values, and that really it is economic empowerment, that you can make a difference for your own life and for others around you by having that money and that confidence and that knowledge to go after what means the most to you. And that's why I love speaking with you, because you're all about the passion and you've got such great vision. And I think that the Justice Department is going to be very successful. I'm looking forward to seeing where you guys are in just another year or two. I have a few more questions for you before we wrap it up. First is, what would you share with young girls today about their futures, their careers, and their opportunities?
Well, their opportunities are limitless. You cannot do it alone. Be grateful for what you have and understand that along the way, and use your full network to rely on each other. We're all resources for each other, support each other, but then also when you do get it, make sure you be grateful for what you do have. You know, I was in a position to be around people that people read about in magazines all the time. And I think for a while, there was a bunch of us in the music industry kind of like feeling ourselves a little bit. And it's like, she'd really been grateful to be in those rooms at the time instead of being a little like entitled, you know? And it's humbling when you go and you take another job, you know, that you haven't done in a long time. And so
start rebuilding from scratch. It's exciting and energizing too, I'm sure. What about your family, your friends, the community at large? Is there anything that you currently do or would like to do for them?
I think one of the things that everyone needs to get involved is local politics. You know, I think we see it so much that we take for granted that we live in a certain kind of community or an area, and everything starts locally, right? And
it's true.
And you should teach your children to be involved locally, and it affects everything. It affects what construction is going on around your house and for how long, and what your zoning is for, and that big, big high rise, what are they giving back to the community that has literally stopped traffic in your community forever? And these things matter. I think we just got so lazy, and then now the climate has changed so much, and people kind of became paralyzed.
And now you're seeing people more active, seeing that their voice can make a difference. So to empower yourself to take a voice and get involved. In terms of an ideal weekend, or an ideal vacation for you, what would that look like?
It always involves the beach, always. I love the sound of an ocean. I'm always gonna love a beach, you know. There's a limit to how many days I can sit and do nothing.
But when you have those days, that's where you'll go.
That's where I'll go.
It's very cathartic, the ocean water, right?
Yes, yes.
Any favorite restaurant or spot in New York City that you love to go to?
I'm down in Tribeca, so our local is this restaurant called Eve's on Northmore in Greenwich, and any given night, if we pass through there, we'll see some of our friends there. Weather gets warm, you can sit outside, so that's kind of like a nice local spot. But, you know, there's so many great ones.
It's a great area, absolutely. And your kids loving that area, too?
They go to school literally across the street, PS 234, so run into all their friends. It's like living in the suburbs in the city.
In terms of your greatest accomplishment to date, what would you say that is, and what would you like it to be?
Well, I mean, my greatest accomplishment is really getting out of the cycle of poverty, you know. My mom didn't graduate high school, and none of them really went to college.
That's amazing that you grew up in a background where your family didn't have the same availability to go to school, and then for you to take it to this whole other level. Like, you didn't just go to high school or just go to college. You went to law school, and you had a vision. Usually we talk about young people need to see something in order to know they can attain it. Yeah. So be able to find that vision is pretty incredible.
I just knew I needed to get out of where I was from. There was something bigger for me out there. So when I landed in New York my very first time, I was like, oh, my people.
That's great.
Yeah, I love
good
it.
Vibe. And anything that's keeping you up at night?
I mean, I'm a very good sleeper, luckily. So
that's a good thing. I mean, so you need a lot of energy for the daytime.
I know, I do. I mean, for me, it's just making sure that we're building our business and making sure we're constantly doing it for the right reasons. You know, the things that keep me up at night are the things we talked about, like, how is it that women are not equal. Like, this is crazy. We're 50% of the population. We represent every race, religion, socioeconomic background. Like, it's, you know, why don't we care more about ourselves, you know? And that's what really, like, stresses me out probably the most, is trying to be a vigilante and making people understand that.
I'm sure there's a lot of people listening that have connected with what you have to say. And if there is anyone that is interested in finding you, working with your team to help build what they've started to develop, how do they find you?
Well, we are at info@thejusticedept.com. You can also follow us on Instagram on @therealjusticedept.com.
That's great.
Women are finding us through there, and I'm at Jennifer Justice League. So they're all pretty easy monikers that play on something else.
Very clever. Very brilliant. Very excited that you came today. Thank you for sharing all of your insights, and we look forward to following up and seeing how you're doing and the successes that are coming your way. Thank you.